Welcome to the Tailored Life Podcast, the one and only fitness and nutrition podcast that goes way beyond just training and nutrition and helps you create life by design. I am your host, Cody McBroom. I am a trainer, sports nutritionist, entrepreneur, the founder of Tailored Coaching Method and the Tailored Trainer app. I am a father, a husband, and I am a dude who is obsessed with personal development, obsessed with getting better, obsessed with getting more out of life and living an above average life specifically. And that's what I'm here to help you do. I'm here to help average people achieve above average physiques and live out above average lives. And today I'm going to give you 10 training and nutrition rules, principles. I'm calling them the commandments that are going to help you achieve that above average physique. So if you do not follow these 10 commandments, I promise you, you are going to have a difficult time getting jacked, getting lean, getting shredded, whatever the goal is. Because these are specific to, some of them kind of lend themselves to, I would say strength or progressive training in general. But what this is about really is body composition. It's training for more muscle, less fat. It's eating for more muscle, less fat. That is what we specialize in. And that is the primary thing that I talk about when it comes to training and nutrition. That's what I'm an expert in. And so today it's the 10 training and nutrition commandments specifically geared towards body composition, hypertrophy, fat loss, muscle growth, those kind of things. So we're honestly just going to dive straight in. We're not going to waste any time. I want to dive into these commandments and I want to just teach you. I want to show you these 10 commandments and why they're so influential. This idea, you could say, it came about from my email list. So I wrote two different emails and they were structured kind of differently. One, I think, went out last week and the next one's about, or this week, maybe on Monday, and the next one's going out next week. Training and nutrition commandments. So it's 10 training commandments and then there was 10 nutrition commandments. So if you're not on my email list, go to tailoredcoachingmethod.com and you'll see the little pop-up. If not, you can click on some of the links in the description of this podcast and download some of our free guides. Or you can just go literally to tailoredcoachingmethod.com/free-guides and there's some free downloadables. You're not going to get hit with a bunch of random email spam stuff. I keep it very straightforward. You're going to see the download. You're going to get the download and I'm going to send you one email, the download. And I'm going to tell you, hey, you should probably hire us for coaching in that email too, but I'm not going to spam you with a big series of follow-up emails. You're going to go onto my email newsletter list though, and you will get access to those. And I write 3 to 4 emails per week to my list, all value-based. So it's less selling and more value given. So I highly suggest you go over to the website and check that out. Now, we're going to get into these. And I wrote these for my email, but then I took the 20 commandments when I looked at training and nutrition. And I was like, you know what? I want to boil these down into just 10 rules and principles for both training and nutrition combined. Like, this is just the overall body transformation 10 commandments, if you will. And so I wanted to put them together in a way that allowed us to kind of be more all-encompassing rather than just 10 training and then just 10 nutrition, right? So here we go. Let's dive right in. We're going to go through each one and I'm going to break down each one semi-specifically. Like, I'm not going to just tell you, do this, this is the commandment, but I'm going to actually like go through what this commandment is and why it is so important so that it is not just a quick, brief explanation, but it is an in-depth one like, you know, I enjoy doing. So the first commandment is abide by the principles of progress. So rule number one, when it comes to changing your body composition and specifically training and nutrition and altering training and nutrition in order to achieve a body transformation, a body composition transformation, is to abide by the principles of progress. There are certain things that create the result, create progress. They move the needle forward. They allow you to literally build muscle or lose fat. And those principles will not change. It doesn't matter what method you use, what strategy you use, what tactic you use, what tools you use, what kind of training split you're on, what kind of diet program it is, if you're high carb or low carb or whatever it may be. No matter what, there is a small list of principles that we just cannot avoid. And so the first rule in these 10 commandments is to always abide by the principles of progress. If we do not do this, we are not going to see the results that we would like to see. And so these principles, there's 5 of them. The first one is CECO, calories in versus calorie out. The second one is stress must be placed. The third one is metrics need to be tracked. The fourth one is you have to be patient. And the fifth one is consistency. So the 5 principles of progress are calories in versus calories out. You must place a stress on the muscle. You need to be tracking some form of metric, usually more than one. You got to be patient and you got to be consistent. And if we look at these and boil them down into more explained and more detailed individual, we're going to start with CECO, calories in versus calories out. This is the law and the principle of thermodynamics. In order to achieve fat loss, you need to be in a calorie deficit. In order to achieve muscle growth or weight gain, you need to be in a calorie surplus. We cannot get around that, right? So if we look at the diet and we want to achieve fat loss, we have to create a calorie deficit. Now, it doesn't matter if you do this through macros and flexible dieting, or if you do this through intermittent fasting, if you do this through the Mediterranean diet, carnivore, keto, whatever it is. If you're trying to get the scale to drop, you need to be in a calorie deficit. Now, I could tell you a few better ways to do it, right? I would suggest tracking macros, because even if you lean more closer to a ketogenic diet, like a high fat, low carb diet, or if you lean more closely to a Mediterranean diet, or you do like to implement some intermittent fasting, or maybe you're going through some gut health issues and your diet kind of is paleo, that's fine. If you also have a goal of fat loss, you need to make sure you're also achieving a calorie deficit, and it's most easy to track that calorie deficit and ensure, in fact, that you are definitely in a calorie deficit by keeping a close watch on your macros and your calories. So no matter what kind of diet protocol you got to follow because of your individual needs or preferences, I'm always going to suggest that you do so with this in mind, and that is to track calories and make sure your macros are in check. And again, I could tell you that, like, number one, track your macros, but number two, I'd probably say you're going to want to cater your macros to favor that of a diet that supports your training and your overall goal, right? And we'll get to that in a little bit. But the second one, stress must be placed. So the second principle, first one is calories in versus calories out, must be, we must make sure of that. Again, we're just abiding by these rules. You don't got to like it, you just got to do it. Maybe you hate the idea that calories in versus calories out. Like, you don't want to track your calories and you'd rather be intuitive and you really wish that calories didn't matter. That's fine. Like, I get it. I wish the same thing, but it is what it is, right? I wish it didn't rain ever, but we wouldn't have trees and grass if it didn't rain. And honestly, we wouldn't have a lot of good things if it didn't rain sometimes. And it's impossible to assume it's never going to rain. So if I sit there stressing about it's always raining, I'm just going to be moping and negative all the time. I would much rather just accept it and move on and worry about what I can change, right? Can't change calories in versus calories out. You can change the method, right? Methods are many, principles are few. Methods often change, principles never do. CECO doesn't change. The method in which you accomplish calories in versus calories out, that can change. And therefore, you can do whatever you want to do or how you need to do it, or hire a coach that's going to help you find the right way to do it so that you can more easily abide to this principle. The second principle to abide by is the stress one. So stress must be placed in order for our body to create change. And this is going to go both ways. If we want to create fat loss, well, we got to create a deficit and we likely need to have a higher energy expenditure, whether that's because we are exercising more, we are doing more cardio, we're increasing our step count, changing our lifestyle, getting more sleep. A lot of these things lead to two things. One, recovery, which we're going to touch on later in a specific manner. And two, energy expenditure. So we're doing more to burn more calories and we're eating less to eat less calories. This is going to be a stress on the body. More movement, less food. That's a stress. If we want to build muscle, we have to create a stress on the muscular system. This is the act of mechanical tension. The number one proponent or key to building muscle is creating as much mechanical tension as possible. And volume is the metric we track it with. A lot of people say volume is the key indicator of muscle growth. It's the most important thing. And it is, in a way, because it's how you track mechanical tension, right? Volume is how much mechanical tension are we giving the body per session, per week, per month, per year. So that's how we track it. But at the end of the day, it's that stress applied of mechanical tension that creates the adaptation itself. The stimulus we are applying on the muscle is a stress, right? And we can even use stimulus and stress as interchangeable verbiage here. But the point is this stress must be placed. If you want to get stronger, you have to overload your lifts. This is a stress on the joints. It's a stress on the muscular system. It's a stress on the nervous system. It is a stress that is creating a stimulus that your body has to recover and adapt to. So I could go on and on and on, but the main key point here is we need to place a stress in order for the body to feel a stimulus that it needs to recover from and therefore adapt to. The process of adaptation after the stress is placed is the process of growing and building muscle and seeing results, right? So calories in versus calories out is number one. Principle number two is stress must be placed. Principle number three is metrics need to be tracked. If you're not tracking, you're kind of just guessing, right? And this doesn't just mean macros, right? This isn't just, I am tracking macros and that's the most important thing. That's the only thing, whatever it may be. It means that we're tracking things, period. If you're dieting, you should probably be tracking your diet in at least one way, right? Maybe it's just the foods you eat, but it probably should be your calories and your macros. If you were trying to, I mean, like you could simplify this so far down too. If you're trying to improve your hydration, well, you better track your water intake because you're dehydrated now. How much water are you taking in? I don't know. Okay, we'll start tracking it because whatever you're doing isn't enough. So we need to track it and then increase it, right? Your step count, we want to adjust it. You got to be able to track it first. Your training progressions. Are you getting stronger in the gym? Are you lifting heavier? Are you doing more volume? I don't know. Okay, well, if you're not tracking it, you'll never know. And if you can't track it, you can't assess it. And if you can't assess it, you can't change and improve it, right? Stepping on the scale. You want to lose weight. Okay, are you stepping on the scale? No. How on earth are you going to find out whether or not you're losing weight if you won't even step on the scale, right? Are you getting leaner? I don't know because I'm not doing measurements. Okay, well, we probably should do that too, right? So I could, again, I could go on and on and on. But the point is that we need to track in order to create the change we want. Change only happens with awareness, right? Awareness precedes change. It's one of my favorite things to say to people. And the reason I love it so much is because awareness is the first step in all change that we want to create. So if we have a goal for our physique, we have to first understand where we're at now so that we can also understand what needs to change about what we're doing right now. And therefore we can adapt to the change we're creating and get the said result we're after, right? Assess, become aware, create a change, adapt to the change. Now you're living with results. Like that's really how the sequence goes. But again, if you're not tracking metrics, we can't do any part of this. We can't assess, we can't progress, we can't adjust. We need to be tracking things. Number four is patience. So we have calories in versus calories out, stress must be placed, metrics need to be tracked, and patience. Rome wasn't built overnight is the most common way to say or describe this. And that's the reality here, right? Like at the end of the day, this shit just takes time. If you're not willing to spend the time doing the work, you don't really want the result that bad. And that is not some like hardcore macho rah-rah kind of thing. It's just the reality. If you don't want to do the work, you don't really want the result. That is all it boils down to. And again, it's not in a way to say that you got to be hardcore with it. It could be very simple things, but no matter what, no great change creates fast results. No sustainable change creates fast results. We know some things that create fast results, but those things don't usually last that long. The best supplements don't show creatine, fish oil, multivitamin, whey protein, even like ones that aren't necessary but can be helpful, like highly branched cyclic dextrin, a carb that you drink during a workout. Those things don't show you an instant. They're not a steroid. They don't show you an instant feedback. Shit, even steroids, I would imagine, don't, because people take steroids for a long period of time and grow. It's not like they inject it and they build muscle tomorrow. Like, you still got to do the work. You got to go through this process. And patience is such a big factor. If you make an adjustment to the diet, it's not going to be a massive ROI within the first week. You might get an ROI in the first week, but usually it takes a couple weeks for your body to adapt, create change, and then for us to see that it's working. If we're progressing in a training program, you got to do the training program for 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe even 8 weeks before you really maximize some of the strength and the adaptations from a muscular perspective that you could get from it, right? If you're trying to have a high step count, you can't do a high step count for a day and expect to burn enough calories to see a noticeable change in your physique. You got to keep doing it. So the point is that there is no thing that we can chase in life that doesn't require patience. Success requires patience to the utmost. So it's a principle that we have to abide by when it comes to changing our physique. You got to be patient. It's going to take some time. Consistency is the last principle. So we have calories in versus calories out. A stress must be placed. Metrics need to be tracked. You got to be patient. And last but not least, you got to be consistent. Much like patience, consistency is a inevitable principle of body composition change. You don't have to like it, but you got to be consistent. Most of us don't like it. Most of us still have to be consistent. Whatever diet you choose, whatever training program you choose, whatever goal you have, fat loss, muscle growth, building strength, even maintenance, it's all about consistency. Nothing happens after one try. Results only come after repeating the same thing and doing well at that same thing over and over and over and over again, right? They say insanity is, it's insane when you repeat the same thing and expect a new result. However, it's brilliance if you repeat the same thing and continue to get the same result. Because if the same result is the result you're after, then you are doing everything right. It is brilliant. It's far from genius. In fact, it takes more mental, patience, first of all, for consistency, but really discipline and willpower to keep doing the same thing over and over again, because it can get boring. You're naturally going to want to change things up. This is the number one thing I see wrong with trainers and nutritionists who are doing their own training program and dieting. So they're coaching themselves. This is the number one mistake they make. The number one mistake these coaches, trainers, nutritionists make when coaching themselves is that they're constantly changing the program or the diet plan. Every week they want to tweak things, every couple weeks at least. And it's causing them to not have enough consistency and not have enough repetitiveness in order to actually get to a result. They're so focused on tweaking things because they learn something new, they see something different, they do something with a client that works, and it influences their own decisions within their own diet and training. They're running their own training and diet emotionally, really. This is why it's so helpful to hire a coach when you are a coach, because you can just focus on your clients. And this is what I do. I have a coach that tells me what to do, and I can just be unbiased and unemotionally like decisive to my own training and nutrition. It's way, way better. So commandment number one, obviously took the longest. This is the only one with five bullet points. So bear with me. It's going to be easier going from here on out. But principle or commandment number one, abide by the principles of progress. And again, in a nutshell, and this is why this is the number one training and nutrition commandment on my list. Abiding by the principles of progress means that you are abiding by and following suit with what we cannot control or change. It just is what it is. You don't have to like these things, but you got to do these things, because you're only going to get results if you abide by these principles. And that's calories in versus calories out. A stress must be placed in order to create an adaptation. Therefore, you can't have a result if you don't first place a stress on the body. You got to track your metrics, not just one, but probably many, because you're not going to know if you're progressing. You can't assess where you're at, and you can't adjust the plan to get where you want to go if you're not tracking some of these metrics. You really, really, really need to be patient, because nothing great happens quickly. And last but not least, you got to be consistent. Those five things are the greatest principles of body composition change. The second commandment of training and nutrition is diet and training specificity. I love this quote by a strength coach legend, Dan John. The goal is to keep the goal the goal. And that literally reflects perfectly with what I was just saying about coaches changing up their program too much. The scientific principles of strength training talks about this in the book. It's a really good book. So does the scientific principles of hypertrophy, which is another really good book. Specificity is key. So you have to have diet and training specificity. Now, this doesn't just mean like, hey, stop adjusting so much, because you can have the same goal and adjust and adjust and adjust. But the phrase keep the goal, or the goal is to keep the goal, is really helpful, because if your goal is strength, you can't get distracted by these other aspects of training. This is why when somebody says, hey, like I want to get on a training program, I'm looking to build as much muscle as possible. By the way, I really want to lose some fat, and I'm competing in a powerlifting match soon. And then after that, I'm thinking about doing a marathon run. And I'm like, yeah, you're going to be bad at all of them. Or we could just crush one of them. Your choice, right? Diet and training specificity is key. And this means that the principle of specificity is pretty simple. You got to have a plan that is specifically catered to what your main goal is. And you shouldn't have more than one main goal. It's called the main goal because there's only one. It's your main priority that you're focusing on, right? So for this, I would say, you know, diet and training specificity. For example, diet specificity. If you are in a calorie deficit for fat loss and your primary goal is fat loss, but your secondary goal is going to be maintaining muscle tissue, I would probably suggest being on a high protein, moderate to low fat diet, and then keeping carbs as high as you can. Right, so we're going to create a deficit through some cardio and through some fat intake, calories taken from fat, so that we can maximize carbohydrates, because carbohydrates are going to hydrate the muscle. They're going to fill the muscle belly. They're going to help deliver nutrients to the muscle. Most of your muscle is water, so it's going to literally be your muscle, and it's going to fuel your performance in the gym because carbs are your primary fuel source. So if we know this, then we know that keeping carbs high is going to be the most advantageous way to be in a deficit. So if I'm in a deficit, it's the most advantageous way to set up my macros in order to maintain muscle while losing fat. Right? If you are somebody who is sedentary and you just need to lose weight because you need to get healthy for a surgery or something, then I would say a high protein, moderate fat, moderate carb diet, or a high protein, low carb, high fat diet, or a high protein, don't worry about carbs and fats, just hit your calories diet, right? Like, it doesn't matter, because specific to the weight loss and health goal, we don't need a lot of carbs. We also don't need a lot of fats necessarily, but we definitely need to be in a deficit and we definitely need protein. So we can adjust the diet to fit that lifestyle, but also just be focused on the main specific goal. Why put them into a very complex macro breakdown when they can have a very simple one, which is easy to adhere to, when they're accomplishing their goal the same in both categories, right? If our goal is gut health, well, now it's going to be less about macros. It could be about macros a little bit, but we're also going to be looking at very specific ingredients and food types as well as supplementation, right? So the diet is being specifically created to help facilitate the actual change that they want to occur, right? This is really, really important. And this is why when people say like calories are king, it's true, right? Calories matter most, but the specificity of how you break up those calories, right? The calorie composition of your diet matters a whole lot, because if your calories are in a deficit, that's great. But if you're not training well, if you're not recovering well, if you're not optimizing your hormones, or if you have gut issues and you're not fixing that too, or if you've had hormone issues in the past and you're not protecting that while you're in a deficit, or you're not eating to maintain muscle, like, you're going to get to the end result and have less muscle. You're going to harm your hormones in the process. You're going to make your gut health worse. You're going to cause more stress than needed. It's not, you know, calories is just the first checkbox you got to check off. And then beyond that, it gets very specific to you, the individual. With regards to training, it's very similar. If your goal is hypertrophy, then you better be focusing on exercises that are going to create or elicit the best stress or stimulus for that adaptation you're after. We're after hypertrophy, which means I need to create as much mechanical tension as possible. It's not just about strength, and strength is a skill. So if I'm trying to get stronger in the back squat, that's one thing. But if I'm trying to grow my quads, well, it might be a back squat that gives me the best bang for my buck, but it might be a leg press. It might be a Bulgarian split squat. It might be a Smith machine squat. It might be a hack squat. It's different depending on the individual, their limb lengths, their experience level, like what they feel confident and comfortable with, their mind-muscle connection, what they have access to, what is most neurologically fatiguing, right? Because as you get stronger, everything is more neurologically fatiguing, but certain lifts are even more so than others. And you might lean more on higher volumes for isolation work because you don't want to overly fatigue yourself and stress yourself out, not be able to recover to the stress you're applying and trying to adapt to, right? So point with that is pretty simple. Like, your training's got to be specific to that. If your goal is to improve aerobic capacity and endurance, well, the type of aerobic training you're doing, cardio you're doing, better be specific to the type of aerobic adaptations you're after, right? No matter what, how we spin this, like, training needs to be specific to your one goal. You got to keep the goal, that is the goal. So that's commandment number two. Training and nutrition commandment number three, sustainability must be considered. Now, I say must be considered, and I'm going to keep this one short because the next one I think is really important. But, you know, I used to often say, if you can't see yourself doing it forever, it's not the right diet for you. Or if you can't see yourself doing this for longer than 6 months, it's not the right diet for you. And although I think the mindset and the thought process behind that is really good, I think it's really helpful, I think it's intelligent, smart, I don't think that's accurate anymore, because at the end of the day, a diet for fat loss is not supposed to be sustainable for a long period of time. I think a lot of people get this wrong. A lot of people assume that, like, oh, the diet's got to be so sustainable, so whatever I choose for fat loss has to be sustainable. Look, if you have a lot of weight to lose, 100% it's got to be sustainable. But there's a million ways to skin a cat. Some people actually do better with short sprints. So we might attack weight loss for 8 to 12 weeks, take a break for a month, do it again, right? So when they're in that 8 to 12 weeks, they know that this isn't the rest of my life, right? On top of that, even if they have to do three of those to lose their overall goal of, let's say, 60 pounds or whatever it is, it's going to be three times, right? There's just, you know, the diet always doesn't always have to be sustainable, but you have to consider sustainability. So if we look at the diet, is this something that you can intermittently, so occasionally, do in order to create the weight loss change that you want? whether you have to do it once, twice, three times, or maybe in your whole life, another six times, who knows? Because you might cut once a year or every couple years, or maybe you lose a bunch of weight and then a few years later, you want to do it again, you want to cut more, you gain some weight. Is this something you could repeat? And is this something that is not going to create negative habits in relationships with your food and your diet after the fact? So this might be more aggressive because maybe that's how you do best and it's just what we need to do for a protocol perspective. And we go through that and it's clearly not sustainable, but as long as it doesn't mess you up afterwards, like as long as it doesn't put you in a place where you are like, I don't know what to do. I didn't get any education. I feel like shit. I ruined my hormones. As long as you don't get to that place, you're totally fine. And we're not in a bad spot because not all diets are intentionally supposed to be sustainable, but you should consider that. So even with training, there might be a block of time where you do a ton of volume that is hard to recover from. But you have a lot of time off, you're not going on any travel, you have a very specific hypertrophy goal that you're after, push it during that phase. Like right now, I'm training to develop what I would call a pro physique. Will I go pro? I don't know. It's not up to me. It's up to biased judges, and which isn't the most comforting or guaranteed approach, right? It's not the most secure way to win something, but I'm training as if that's the goal, and I do plan to compete again. Am I going to train this way every year and try to compete every year? God, no. There's no way. Like I know that, but because I know that, it's actually easier to do it now because I'm like, I'm enjoying it right now. I'm loving this right now. I'm actually excited to see what I'm capable of right now. And I love it even more because I know I don't have to do this forever. I'm going to do this to get to the goal. And then, you know, maintaining this and chasing another goal is a completely different thing. So it's just, it's understanding what the long-term goal is. Sustainability is not just what you're doing right now, has to be what you can do forever. It's what I'm doing right now isn't going to negatively impact or contribute what I want to do forever. And I know what I want for the forever aspect, right? So that is number three. Number four commandment goes really well with number three, and that's to phase your diet and your training. So there's two ways I look at this. The first one is the way we periodize our clients' diets. So the way we periodize our clients' diets and fat loss phases in general is with the 3P approach, I guess you could call it. And that's prime, progress, and prosper. The primer phase is like this health phase. It's a phase where we are priming the body. We are trying to create the most positive and healthy environment for the metabolism, overall hormones, stress management, sleep, health in general, joints, all that, as well as the mental state and the consistency. So when we're at maintenance calories or roughly, or we're trying to bring calories up in this period of time, we're improving our health, we're improving our sleep, we're managing stress better, we're feeling better by the day, we're performing better, everything's going well, and we're in a very positive place in order to create some new habits and develop consistency. So while a client's going through a primer phase, it's not all physical and physiological, it's also psychological. Can we improve your consistency? Can we improve the amount of tracking we're doing? Can we improve your adherence? Can we develop some good healthy habits right now that are gonna carry through and be almost like habitual and mindless when we get into the diet? Because when you're in a deficit, I want your focus on the deficit, not trying to create new habits and learn too many new things. You already know them, so the diet's gonna go better and you're gonna be more easily able to actually adhere to it and adhere to the new things that you implemented, whether it's consistently tracking and weighing food or it's journaling your gratitude and stuff like that. We do these things in the primer phase. Then we move to the progressive phase, which is the fat loss diet. We put you in the diet and we're trying to achieve fat loss. So we slash calories down a bit, we periodize it out, we plan it out, we show you what this phase is gonna look like, how long it's gonna be, what we foresee going on throughout this phase, and we accomplish the goal. And once we accomplish the goal, we go into the prosper phase, which is the sustainability, the, you know, like Star Trek, live long and prosper. Live long and prosper means you are doing something consistently. You're doing it well. You're gonna continue doing it easily. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to reverse you out of the diet, teach you what we're doing, why it's working, and how to be more flexible and intuitive with it so that you can consistently sustain it after the goal is achieved. So that's the prime, progress, prosper. Those are phases of your diet. And you can phase your training too, whether it's a period of time where you're having lower volumes, higher volumes, you implement a strength phase because you feel like your plateaus are due to not being able to lift heavier on the bar. We can implement these phases throughout the year and we can ramp things up when we have more time and flexibility. We can pull things back when we're traveling a lot. We can phase it throughout the year to make it not only more easily, not only make it easier for you to adhere to, but also make it better from a results perspective, because we're maximizing the results and the effort placed in the periods of time where you have the time and the energy to do so. And so the second part of this phasing your diet and training is the three dials. So the three dials of body composition change, and really just three dials of adjusting your training and or nutrition, is going to be intensity, duration, and frequency. And so when I'm looking at a person's diet, I want to look at their past first and assess, what was their last diet? Was it very aggressive and intense? Was that dial up? Was the duration really long or really short? And was the frequency nearby? So did they just get done dieting, or they were off and on of a diet for last year, right? And then when we go into a diet, say we're ready for one, we can crank those too. So some people, we might crank up the intensity. Like, they like to get after it. We're going to be pretty aggressive with the diet, either because their body's stubborn and we have to, or because that's just their personality type that we assessed. Now, the duration is going to have to drop a bit, because you can't do a super aggressive diet for a really long time. You just can't. Diet fatigue will accumulate too much. So we turn down the duration, we crank up the intensity. The frequency dial is how often we do that. So like I said before, is this a client where we are doing these short sprints, 8 week diet, 4 week diet break, 8 week diet, four, that's a high frequency, high intensity, low duration, right? Or are we doing a low intensity, because this person won't adhere to it if we slash too many calories, but we're going to crank the duration up. So they're going to diet for 24 weeks, but it's really easy going. And the frequency is really low too, because we're just going to be doing it one time and done, right? So there's these aspects allow us to plan things out quite a bit with the diet, and somewhat to the training as well. Number five, the fifth training and nutrition commandment is create structured flexibility. So one of the principles that I mentioned before was calories in versus calories out, and another one was stress must be placed. Well, what a lot of people fail to understand about a diet is that, you know, they say they want to lose weight. Like, I want to lose body fat. I just don't want to follow a restrictive plan. I don't want to restrict anything, but I want to diet. And sometimes I want to, honestly, like, shake them. I want to just, like, and we do this gracefully. We kind of tell them, like, hey, like, I'm going to be totally transparent with you. And I think this is something that we've figured out how to do really well at Tailored Coaching Method, and why a lot of people appreciate our coaching and love our coaching so much, is because we tell them, you know, like, hey, at the end of the day, we can't really get away from restriction, because the definition of a calorie deficit is to restrict calories from your diet. So if you want to achieve fat loss, you have to accept a calorie deficit, which also means every once in a while you're going to get hungry. And if you get hungry, we're just going to use discipline and willpower, because you have it in you. You just haven't, like, when somebody says, like, I don't have discipline. No, you do. You just haven't practiced it yet. If I say, hey, like, I need you to follow this deficit every single day this week, and you're like, there's no way I can, I just don't have the discipline. There's cookies everywhere at home. I have kids at work. They have these candy bowls and stuff. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to kidnap your family and I have a gun. Are you going to follow the deficit now? Well, yeah, of course. Okay, so you don't have a discipline problem. You have a purpose problem. You don't have a goal. You don't have a specific goal, and you don't understand why you want that goal. You don't have a purpose that is driving you to that goal. So in the moment when you need to practice discipline, you fail to express that discipline and perform under pressure, because you don't care that much about the goal. And it's not because you don't want it. It's because you don't really understand it. You don't have clarity around where you're going, and you haven't visualized what the end goal will be, right? And this is something that we take a lot of pride in as well. Like, we want to goal set on a very deep level so that you truly understand where you're going and why you're going there. So in those moments, you don't have to lean on the discipline you don't have, or the motivation you're waiting for somebody to pop out. You're like waiting for Eric Thomas to pop out and yell at you. If you want to breathe as bad as you want to succeed, or if you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you will not eat the cookie. Like, you're waiting for that. No, that's not going to happen. Eric Thomas isn't watching. So you have the discipline. Nobody's going to come save you and motivate you. You just got to lean on it. And it's when you have that purpose and that goal, which I probably shouldn't have dove into too much, because that's one of the commandments, not to spoiler alert, but the structured flexibility, right? This is part of the game. So we need to be restrictive in a sense. We have to restrict calories in order to lose weight, but we need flexibility to make it something that we can adhere to easily, right? The truth of the matter is if we create structured flexibility, that is the key to longevity with fat loss. It means that we have a structured deficit. We know that we're in deficit, we're restricting calories, and we're doing so in a manner that is repeatable. It's something we can stay consistent with, and it's something that is going to cause the adaptation that we are after. Now, we have to also be flexible with it, meaning we have to be able to fit foods we like into it. We have to be able to manage our lifestyle properly. We have to not let it interfere with our work, with our family, with our life too much. There's periods of time where it might happen. I'm going to be honest. Like if you have a very serious goal and you're on the last couple of weeks of a deficit, if there's some times where you say no to a social event, that's okay. If you want to choose your goal over a social event, or if you got to adjust your dinner and eat something different than your family every once in a while, it's not that big of a deal. Are you still sitting down with your family? Yeah. Okay. That's all that matters. What you eat doesn't make other people shit. So they don't care, really. The only people that care are the people that get insecure that you're not eating the same thing as them. And if it's your daughter giving you puppy eyes saying that she wants frozen yogurt, then you say yes. And that's me speaking about myself and my life. And at the end of the day, that's structured flexibility. I can be flexible with things like that that actually matter to me and fit them in the diet and still have that structure that I need in order to create a deficit and lose weight. So I do want to interject real quick. And this is like an informal advertisement, just so you know, because I don't pre-record these yet. I think I'm going to do that soon, to be honest with you. I'm just going to be completely transparent with you guys because I think it's important, but I'm terrible at doing that. I just kind of go off the cuff. But I'm just going to tell you right now, if I'm saying these things and you're the nuts and bolts are turning in your head, your gears are turning, you're like, I know this is what I need. I got to figure this out. I need accountability. You're absolutely right. Like nobody does this really, really well on their own, not even coaches. So if you're struggling with your fat loss journey, with your body composition journey, anything like that, I just want to encourage you, reach out for coaching. Sign up for coaching, get on a free call, figure out what you need. Let us help you set the goals. I promise you, our coaching is life-changing. I mean that in the full sense. Like the things people send me, the members that work with us send me, it's honestly phenomenal. It's absolutely insane. It's so fulfilling. And I would love for you to be a part of that because it truly is special. So if you want to head to fatlosstransformation.com, that is a direct link that's going to go to the application page that you can get on a free call with myself or somebody else on the team that is a good fit for you. So again, fatlosstransformation.com, go there, sign up for coaching. We'll get on a free call first before you make any commitment. We'll show you how we can literally, and I don't say these words lightly, we'll show you how we can change your life. All right. Speaking of accountability, that's number six. The sixth fitness and nutrition commandment is accountability. This is very cut and dry, easy to explain. There's tons of science to back this up. If you pay for something, you're more likely to get value out of it. Plain and simple. There's studies showing that they will charge people more for the same glass of wine, and the people will actually, not knowing that it's not different, like literally review it with a better review, say it tastes better. They did this with wine, literally. They did this with wine glasses as well. This glass is this fancy glass to aerate it and blah, 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 and they paid more for it. It didn't do shit. There is no aeration or whatever, however you say it, that actually makes the wine taste better. But people believed it because they paid more for it. There's studies that show there's like this thing, they were going through this process, and if they paid just $1 instead of being free, they were more likely to follow through. And that just goes to show if you pay more than $1, which coaching is, you're very, very likely to follow through and do what you said you were going to do, accomplish the goals that you said you were going to. And when you screw up, you're more likely to jump right back on the wagon because you know that you screwed up and you see how you can fix it and do better next time because you're paying for it, plain and simple. And then on top of that, when you have somebody who actually cares about you, holding you accountable and you're checking in with, somebody who cares about you and or you respect and you don't want to quote unquote let down, that is a level of pressure that is very positive. There's certain pressures in life that are positive. Responsibility for things that matter is a pressure that is very positive. So having to check in every week with a coach, and when you don't, the coach is reaching out and be like, yo, what's up? You didn't check in. How's it going? Like, where are we at? Those things matter a lot. And that accountability is a level of accountability that is going to support your consistency, your patience, and your ability to execute and take action tenfold. I promise you. So number six, commandment, training and nutrition principles, you got to find accountability. It is absolutely crucial. Number seven, so the seventh training and nutrition commandment is to prioritize the recovery adaptation principle. The recovery adaptation principle is pretty simple. You have to recover from the stress placed on your body in order to adapt in a favorable way. If you don't, you will adapt in a negative way, right? So the recovery adaptation principle states, with recovery, adaptation is positive and favorable. Without recovery, adaptation is negative and not favorable. So if you train super hard, yet then you don't sleep, you don't eat any protein, you don't have a post-workout meal, you go run a few miles right afterwards, like you just add to the stress and you don't de-stress to decompress and really bring your nervous system down into a parasympathetic mode, you are not going to recover fully. right? Nutrition, hydration, sodium, sleep, rest. These things are very important for recovery. If you do those things after a workout, you're going to fully recover. And in the process of fully recovering, your body adapts in a favorable way by building muscle. It will rebuild the tissue you broke down and then build new muscle tissue so that you get stronger next time and you look bigger, better, and more jacked. Plain and simple, right? If you are creating a deficit, it's the same thing. We have to recover from that. Now, if you create a deficit and you're not recovering, you're still going to lose weight. I won't lie to you, but it will be short-lived. You won't be able to adhere to it. The number one reason why cortisol, the stress hormone, causes fat gain is not because the hormone stores body fat. In fact, the hormone cortisol is a hormone. It's a fuel utilization hormone, meaning it uses fuel that we're taking in or calories that we're taking as fuel to burn off. So in some situations, it's actually helping us burn fat, to be honest. If we don't have enough of the right nutrients or we're not in a good state, it actually can burn muscle instead of fat, which is not a good thing, obviously, because it can be catabolic. But the point of me saying that is that if you are overstressed while trying to lose weight and you add the stress of a deficit, you're going to lose weight, but it's going to be short-lived. It's only a matter of time before you binge or you fall off or you think you can't do it, or it starts negatively impacting other things that would down the road lead to an inability to lose fat. It's the same reason why if somebody diets for too long or too hard or too often, and then when they go to finally do it again, they can't lose weight and they're confused. Well, you've metabolically adapted in a very unfavorable way. And this is why your body's stuck where it's at. So the point is that you have to recover if you want to adapt properly. The recovery adaptation principle states, if I train hard and I create a stress on the body and I want to adapt positively to it by building muscle, burning fat, getting stronger, whatever it may be, I need to recover fully from it. Okay. Next, number 8, and this is why I already kind of said this one and I was like, oh, I shouldn't have said this yet. Have a specific end goal, short and long term. So the 8th training and nutrition commandment is you got to have a specific end goal, short and long term. If you don't know where you're going, it's going to be very hard to go there. Plain and simple. Lack of clarity on where your goals are is the number one reason why people fall off and don't see things through. If somebody sets a goal and they're not consistently reminded of what they're doing, why they're doing it, what the end goal is, when the end goal ends, like the timeline, the process, the adjustments, like all these things are like constant reminders as to where we're going. And they have this constant feedback around them and their goal, creating clarity for them. That is going to really help somebody get to their goal. So like the number one correlation between people who actually get their goals, I guess I'm trying to like, does that make sense? The number one correlation for that would be, yeah. Okay. So then I paused because I was like, wait, this isn't going to make sense. The number one correlation for people getting to their end goals is that they have a specific end goal and they're constantly reminded about that. So they have clarity around it. Right. And I said that earlier when I was talking about the structured flexibility thing. And so at the end of the day, again, like number 8, you have to have a specific end goal, short and long term, meaning what is my goal this week or this month? Like what is the short term thing that I'm trying to chase right now? It might be the next couple pounds. It might be just daily consistency and accuracy. But if you don't have a 60 or 90 or 120 day goal or something that is a little bit longer that you can say like, I'm going to lose 30 pounds by this date, you need to create that specific clear goal if you want to get to any type of end goal that is really worth achieving. Number 9, always have a plan for progression. So the 9th training and nutrition commitment is to always have a plan for progression. This mainly applies to training. I would say that you could always have a adjustment in mind. This probably wouldn't apply as much for you if you are somebody who isn't coaching themselves, doesn't want to coach themselves, and doesn't coach others. So for me, it's important for me to always have a progression and an adjustment for my clients. Okay, I'm adjusting their calories. If this doesn't work, this is what I'm going to do, right? Or when this stops working and they hit a plateau, this is the next move. I'm always kind of one step ahead, like chess. But for training, this is very specific. You always have to have a plan for progression, right? Periodization is awesome, but progression and program design is way more important than periodization, especially for body composition changes. What this means is that it doesn't matter so much as the different phases and specializations that you're doing through a block periodization throughout a whole year cycle of training, but rather in this month, in this block, 4 to 8 weeks long, let's say, what is the progression week to week? Is it linear where you drop a rep and add weight and then after 4 weeks you cycle back? Is it double progression method where you have, you know, 8 to 10 reps and you start with a heavy 8 and your goal is to do that weight until you can do all sets of 10 with it and then you go back down to 8 with a heavier load or change the exercise? Is the progression to change the range of motion, right? So you go from a lunge to a deficit lunge to a Bulgarian split squat to a deficit Bulgarian split squat, right? There's progressions in range of motion. You can add pauses, you can add tempos, you can do anything. But as long as you have a plan of how do I make this harder week to week, month to month, you're going to be golden. Because the truth is it has to get harder. You won't continue to create a stress that is greater than the last one, which is the only way you can create further adaptation. So think about it. If you create a stress, it's brand new stress, you're going to recover and then adapt to it. But if you create that same stress again in a couple of weeks, you've already adapted to that. It's still going to work, but it's not going to work as well, right? And then the next week you do the same exact thing. So if you do 10 reps of dumbbell bench press with 50 pound dumbbells and it's really hard week one, you adapt, you build muscle, you get stronger. Week two, it's kind of easier. Week three, it's definitely easier. Week four, it's you got it. You're not challenging yourself anymore. And at that point, your body stops adapting and creating bigger, better muscles to handle more load because you're not adding more load. You're not giving it a progressive stress or stimulus to adapt to. And so this is really important. And there, like I said, there's a lot of ways to do it, but the easiest way to think about this without me making, because I could, and I'm actually this is one of the modules in the training program design 101 course I'll be doing, which I'm almost done with the nutrition fundamentals or foundations. I can't remember what I called it. But for the fundamentals or foundations, the 101 kind of style of training, there's a whole module on progression. So it's going to be really good, but it's really important. You got to make sure that you're making things harder as you go and you're adapting to it. And if you're doing the other things that I've listed, you're probably going to be adapting to it. Now, the last commandment is really easy. The 10th training and nutrition commandment is that you got to enjoy the process. If you're not enjoying the process, you're not doing something that's sustainable. You're not creating a lifestyle out of it. You're not going to appreciate it. You're not going to push yourself. Like, again, you can't rely so on motivation that every single week you're dragging ass and you're like, I have to ramp myself up to get in the gym. I just got to really think about this. I got to like blast it. Like if you have to do all that stuff constantly, it's not a good thing. Now, every once in a while, you got to do it. That's fine. But if it's going to be best if one, you don't have to do it that often, or two, you got to do it to get started. But then after a couple sets, you're like, okay, I'm in it. I'm in the mode. But if you're dreading the gym, it's because you're not enjoying the process. You're not enjoying the process of change. Maybe because you're not abiding by some of the other principles and therefore you're not even getting results. So you're not seeing the change. But maybe it's because it's not the kind of program that you should be running, right? You should be enjoying the type of exercises you're doing. There's absolutely challenge inside of every workout. If you're not challenging yourself, you're not doing a workout that's very effective. However, there's definitely ways to enjoy the challenges you face in the gym. And if you're not figuring out a way to do that, that's a problem. All right, guys, so that's a wrap on these, the 10 training and nutrition commandments. Real quick, I think that I should probably just run through them briefly so you can just kind of have them in a cliff notes, right? So the 10 training and nutrition commandments, the first one is to abide by the principles of progress, and that's calories in versus calories out. Stress must be placed on the body, on the muscles, in the diet, wherever you're trying to create the change. Metrics have to be tracked, usually more than one. You gotta be patient and you gotta be consistent. Those are the principles of progress that you have to abide by. Number two is that diet and training specificity matters. Number three is that sustainability of the diet and or training program must be considered. Number four, you have to phase your diet. It's gotta fit your lifestyle, it's gotta fit your goals, and it has to phase and periodize over time. Number five is you gotta create structured flexibility. We have to restrict, but we can't have a totally restrictive diet. We need to be flexible, but we can't have an all or nothing flexible diet. Number six, you got to find accountability for your plan. People who are held accountable are more likely to follow through and reach their goals. Number seven, you have to abide by the, or you have to prioritize, sorry. Number seven is you have to prioritize the recovery adaptation principle. And that is that whatever stress you're placing, you need to fully recover from it if you want a favorable and positive adaptation to the stress you are placing on your body. Number eight, you have to have a specific end goal. I would suggest both short and long term. Number nine, you always have to have a plan for progression. And number 10, you gotta enjoy the process. Those are the 10 training and nutrition commandments. I really hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. These are 10 things that I think everybody needs to prioritize no matter where you're at in your journey. And if you're not, you got the list now. And again, if you need help, we have two great resources for you that are guaranteed to help you get results. And that is our one-on-one coaching, which you can find at fatlosstransformation.com, or the Taylor Trainer app, which you can get a 7-day free trial at thetaylortrainer.com. I appreciate you guys listening, and I will catch you next time.